Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we discover what real joy looks like in the exciting book of Philippians. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's conversation in the book of Philippians. It's a conversation that's winding down, John.
Yes, Pastor, we've had a great time in the book of Philippians. I'm looking forward to our final episodes here.
You know, it almost feels as if we're saying goodbye to an old friend.
It certainly does.
I love the book of Philippians. Our theme, friends, has been joy, real joy, authentic joy. And it's been a joy to wade through it, to understand that joy really has nothing to do with our circumstances.
And it's so easy, humanly, to look at it that way, but Philippians teaches us it's far from being that way.
Absolutely. Well, let's look at it. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, we talked last episode about how famous this verse is, and yet how misused it has been over the years. So I hope that we have a good understanding of what Philippians 4:13 means, where the Apostle Paul said, hey, I'm glad that you've sent me a gift. I rejoice in every good gift that comes my way. But I want you all to know that I'm okay. Whatever circumstance God allows to come down the pipeline of my life, I can do all things through Christ. I can bear under any circumstance with the power of Jesus Christ resting upon me.
You know, Paul was content to do whatever the will of God was, whether that was going through hard times or highs or lows. Paul was content to trust in God and follow him, knowing that God would give him the grace necessary to accomplish whatever God had for him.
No, that's so good. So when he introduced this concept in verse 10, he said, hey, I'm really grateful for the gift you sent. Now, listen, let me clarify. And now in verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, let me clarify. And the clarification is verse 14, where he says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. So in other words, I can almost envision the Apostle Paul thinking about how the Philippians would respond to that. Hey, I'm fine. I can do all things through Christ. And now I'm the Philippian believer saying, well, fine, then I won't send you a love offering. No, you did a good job. You know, continue to obey the Lord, do what he prompts in your heart. God works that way too. I'm just saying, regardless of how other people treat me, I'm okay in the Lord.
You know, Paul wanted to be sure to encourage the Philippian believers. He did let them know, yes, I do appreciate what you've done. You know, my trust is in Christ, but Christ does use people. And he's going to talk to them these verses here about how they can actually receive by giving.
No, and that's a really good point, John, is that that is the way that God blesses. God uses people to bless people. Think about even when you receive the gospel, maybe each one of us today could just stop for a moment and think about that time in my life when I received the gospel. You know, God used somebody to get you the gospel message. How shall they hear without a preacher? So that's the way God continues to bless. He uses people to bless people. So here in verse 14, ye have well done. I love that because those are the words that we all want to hear one day. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. So help us with that old English word, communicate.
Yeah, communicate, we find the Bible oftentimes, you know, we take it to mean today to be like talking, but often communicate means the idea of, you know, giving something to financially. And that is really what Paul is driving at, particularly here, is their financial help they provided to him along the way. And he will lay this out in the next few verses here. But Paul is appreciative of what they've done for him and how probably many of them have sacrificed to help him out.
I think about the verse in Galatians 6, where the Apostle Paul said, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. That's the same thought, isn't it?
It is, without doubt.
So think about the language then, my friends, of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 14. Ye have well done in that ye did communicate with my affliction. So in what sense do you feel the Philippian believers were communicating with Paul in his affliction?
And I think Paul here, without doubt, Paul was suffering. He had been in some difficult circumstances in prison. And there were a number of people that actually were afraid to be associated with Paul. We find that in some of his letters where people had deserted him because of what he was going through. But these people were not afraid to be with Paul. They were not afraid to support Paul financially, although they were not there physically. They had sent the representative, and they were glad to associate with him, to help him out, and to help him in his time in need by giving things to him financially. And really, even in our lives, when we know people are going through difficulties, when we help them out with our material goods, we are participating with them what God's called them to do.
Yeah, a lot of times someone else's difficulty causes us to shrink away from them. It makes us feel awkward. And the Apostle Paul said, you weren't embarrassed to have a part in my ministry, even though I'm in this place of affliction. You see it poignantly illustrated in his second Roman imprisonment, because it was at that time that even some of his very closest colleagues were tempted to dissociate from the Apostle Paul. Excuse me. For instance, Demas. And Paul took that very personally. Demas hath forsaken me. And then even Timothy, the one to whom Paul was writing, Paul said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. So it seems as if even Timothy was growing ashamed of the Apostle Paul because of his affliction. And then I think the great example at the end of 2 Timothy chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul lauded the efforts of Onesiphorus. So Onesiphorus, who was from Asia, Timothy knew him, had come all the way to Rome. He sought Paul out very diligently. And Paul was careful to say, he was not ashamed of my chain. So in that sense, he communicated to him in his affliction. And I guess my question to, well, I guess to you and me, John, but to all of us that are listening today, is who is that person in my life right now who's struggling, who, if we're not careful, we'll distance ourselves from? And what a great opportunity for us to communicate, to use resources that we have that they don't. And sometimes that resource is not financial. Sometimes that resource is the resource of encouragement, or the resource of time, or the resource of just physical help. But the Apostle Paul said, hey, my commentary on what you have done is this: well done.
You know, it is interesting. In the human environment, often people have the mentality, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, or, you know, what have you done for me lately? But that was not the heart of all of these Philippian believers. Their heart, they loved Paul, although he was going through difficult times in prison. He had invested in him, and they loved him sincerely, and now they're helping him. And as you said, Pastor, God brings people into our life that we are to shower love on. And what opportunity that is to be, you know, the hand of God in their life to help encourage them.
That's so good. One more thought before we move on from this verse, and that is, I think we live in an age of Christianity where we place so much emphasis on what we say or what we write. You know, social media is so prevalent. But the Apostle Paul didn't say, well said. He said, well done. And at the end of the day, our faith ought to be producing works. It ought to move us to action. The Apostle Paul said, I just want to acknowledge that you acted upon the prompting of God in your life to help me, and it is a blessing.
You know, this passage reminds me of 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And then John goes on to talk about, you know, don't just love in word. Love indeed and in truth. And that is goes right along with what you said, Pastor.
Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You know, that's a great reference. So look at verse 15 then. So verse 14, ye've well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. But then verse 15, now ye Philippians know also. I really see endearment there. The Apostle Paul rarely would call out in the middle of a letter the group. So you Philippians, he's calling back their attention personally. He did that with the Corinthians. Oh, ye Corinthians, our mouth is opened unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Galatians, he did the same thing. So you Philippians, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So first of all, help our listeners to understand what that means, the beginning of the gospel.
Now, this was when Paul first started preaching the gospel in that area. They first became aware of Paul. Paul is ministering. He's going to new territories. And even from the early days of his ministry, they were, when they heard about him, they were faithful to help him. He was a great man of God who was accomplishing great things. And as Paul had worked in their life, they want to help him continue on the ministry God's given him.
The Apostle Paul is not rebuking other churches here. This is not him whining and complaining. He's just saying, Philippians, you know that from the very first opportunity, back when you were a handful of believers, Lydia and her family, the Philippian jailer, his family, some others that had been led to Christ in those early days at Philippi, it just seemed like from day one, you exhibited such hospitality. I'm reminded there in Acts 16, John, about how when Lydia received Christ, she asked the apostles to come stay in her home, or Paul and his companions. And then the Philippian jailer, same thing. Hey, come stay in my home. And he washed their wounds. And just that heart, that care. And Paul is quick to remind them years later, hey, you have had this attitude from day one. And it's unusual because no other church proactively has given to me the way that you have. It reminds me of what he said about Timothy, that no man naturally cares for my state like he does, or cares for your state like he does.
It was great to have friends like that. And that's why we can see the closeness that Paul has with the people here at Philippi while he's writing this letter to them. They were dear friends to him. They loved him. He loved them. And it is great to have people in our lives like that, that are there to encourage us, to help us as they have opportunity to serve God. And that's what God wants our churches to do. He wants in our churches for all of us to be encouraging one another, to be a body of believers in harmony that's helping that member that has a need so that member might be strengthened and encouraged and operate as God wants them to.
Yeah. So do you want to stand out as a believer? Just proactively give and bless other people without being asked. You're going to stand out because that's what the Apostle Paul says here about this church. And then I love what it says in verse 16, where it's really a continuation of that thought. No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So the Apostle Paul said, hey, from the beginning, you guys have been givers. You're doing it again. Now your care for me has flourished again. But I remember in Thessalonica that I received not just one love offering or love gift from you, but you sent once and again unto my necessity. So think about that, John, because the Apostle Paul didn't spend a whole lot of time in Thessalonica.
Yeah, he was not there for long, but they heard of his needs. And you can see this church rallying together. Hey, we hear that Paul has a need. Let's send some money to him. And then they hear, hey, we still need to send more money to him. And so what a heart they had and how quick they were to respond to the need that Paul had.
Roman cities were located, typically the larger cities, about a day's walk. Not a long walk, but a good day's walk. So when the Apostle Paul left Philippi, he traveled along the Roman highway of the day, which was called the Via Egnatia, or the Egnatian Way. The Romans had done a great job with infrastructure, and it's one of the reasons why the gospel flourished. But the Apostle Paul made his way along the coastal cities of Amphipolis and then Apollonia, and then came to Thessalonica. And I point that out just to say that it was a three-day journey. And yet the Bible says that the Philippians had sent help to the Apostle Paul once and again. I go back to Acts 17, John, and look at the time frame that the Apostle Paul spent in Thessalonica. It was not long, three Sabbath days. After that, there may have been a little bit of a season, but the implication of the passage is that the Apostle Paul was there for a very short time. If you take the passage just at face value, he was there a little bit over a month, perhaps. And yet the Philippians had supported him a couple times already.
You know, it is interesting that they did not delay. Sometimes people hear about a need and nobody takes the initiative. You know, people kind of wait around, see what's going to happen. But that was not their heart. They heard that Paul had a need and they said, let's jump right in. And that is the spirit God wants us to have. We see a need, you know, and we get out there and we help with all that we can do to encourage people in the Lord.
Hey, my friends, let's have a well done day. A well done day. A day when we decide it's not going to be about me. I'm going to look for somebody in affliction with whom I can communicate. I'm looking to bless somebody without being asked. I'm going to be proactive. I'm going to stand out, not for my own glory, but because God's prompting me to be a blessing to other people. Let's be like this Philippian church, and let's be a blessing to other people. God bless you, my friends. Thanks for joining us again today.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.